You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Well, well, we're back. Yes, and just in case you're tired and listless and have given up the struggle for radical egalitarian change, we've got a few things you can attend to make you feel a little bit better. Tonight, that's right, tonight, which I understand in the year of our Lord is the 20th of May, I'm doing a little presentation at the Footscray Hotel at 48 Hopkins Street on privatisation and demutualisation. I can hear your eyes rolling back. What's so important about this? Well, these two things have radically changed Australian society. So if you can't make it at 48 Hopkins Street, 6:30pm for a 7pm start. We usually start on time. You can bring food to share. We encourage you to bring food to share. Drinks at bar prices at the Footscray Hotel. If you can't make it, the presentation will be taped, obviously, videotaped. Who knows what the quality is going to be like, but it will be put up on the YouTube channel, the Radical History YouTube channel, josephtoscana.com, NARM. So let's hope you can come along, because I think it's an exceptionally important topic which very few people talk about. They talk about privatisation. They don't talk about the demutualisation of friendly societies and mutual groups was just as important. Now, also, that's tonight, this Saturday, if you're interested, at 9:30am at the Bayside Corporate Centre in Sandringham, there will be the traditional flag-raising ceremony with the Ellen Jose Memorial Foundation is involved in. That's the foundation which was created as a result of the death of my wife about 9.5 years ago. We'll be allocating a number of bursaries to Bayside students based on a competition we run with Bayside City Council called Reconciliation Through Their Eyes. And don't forget, it is Reconciliation Week next week. I think the 26th of May is National Sorry Day, and the 3rd of June is Mabo Day. And once again, we'll be recognising Mabo Day by having a small gathering at Federation Square on Wednesday, the 3rd of June, underneath the flags at the front of Federation Square from about midday to 12:30. Now, next Wednesday night will be dinner at Frankston at La Porquetas. Don't forget that. We usually have a good crowd. And I'd just like to remind people that you're more than welcome, as long as you pay for your food and drinks. And if you can't, I'm sure we could pass that around. So that's a few things. And let's not forget the great rally, the huge rally on the 30th of May at the State Library. The Saturday, 30th of May, 11 a.m. start, and it's a rally to support the public housing struggle, where various public housing groups will be coming together to give that struggle a bit of a push along. So I'll be emceeing that particular rally, so come along and say hello. Now, the sacred cows have wandered in, they're all dressed up in their finery, we're about to be blasted off to Sydney.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to the Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Brainwash minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name is Joseph Toscano. The program is podcast by our producer, Henrietta. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. And if you're wondering what anarchy is all about, anarchos, a very sensible idea. It's about creating a society without rulers. What gives rulers, both financial, the musks of the world and the buffoons of the world, the ability to determine the lives of billions of people? Inequalities in power and wealth. The anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve power, that's share power, possibly through direct democratic means. It's the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. If you want to talk about chaos, look at what's happening in the world today. If you want to talk about stability, look at anarchy. I know. Sounds almost an oxymoron. Now, I want you to get your tissues out, or your hankies if you're old-fashioned. Make sure there's no crud on your hanky. So, because we're going to have a tearjerker at the beginning of the program. A real tearjerker. And if you're a social media buffoon, well, this was right up your alley. Now, the Albanese-led Labor Party actually did some reforms. Minimal reforms, but reforms regarding negative gearing, capital gains tax, and trusts. And the idea was to put wage earners, the majority of Australians, and let's not forget that, and people who make their money through investments on an equal taxation footing. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Now, considering the hysteria that's occurred regarding these minuscule changes, you would think that the end of the world as we know it is upon us. You would think that we'd be reintroducing the guillotine and the French Revolution. But let's look at a few facts. I know facts don't matter in the 21st century, especially in social media, and especially if you belong to the Liberal National Party or Divided Nation. The fact is, facts are irrelevant. But a few facts. One, capital gains tax. We see all this propaganda regarding small business having to pay 47% capital gains tax. Now, let's get it right. The budget papers said that any small business that is sold for less than $2 million, all right, is protected from the new capital gains tax laws, all right? $2 million. 95% of small businesses sell for less than $2 million. Now, if you sell a business for more than $2 million, it means you've got employees, usually. And what that means is that you're making a real packet. And why should you get a 50% discount on your capital gains while wage workers with, you know, paying less than $200,000 are paying 47% tax? It's extraordinary. So this change would only affect moderately sized and large small businesses. But listening to the misinformation and disinformation out there, you would think that every small business is in the firing line. Then we have the investor class, share owners. Now, obviously, most Australians owned shares through superannuation. Well, a significant number. But most Australians do not invest directly in the share market. And the changes which will be introduced in the next few weeks are it's simple reform. It's indexed for indexed for inflation. So that means that if you buy a share and you make a profit, the inflation component will be removed before you pay the same tax in that wage bracket as a wage earner would pay. Next, trusts, family trusts. Now, obviously, there are some groups in society that use family trusts for very good reasons, especially people who on the land, agricultural owners, you know. The fact is that the new family trust laws do not affect anybody who has a family trust based on a family farm. There's also a number of other exclusions to family trusts. Now, you would think, listening to the propaganda, and it's just propaganda, and the fake news regarding family trusts, that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Australians, would be affected. Well, under the current legislation, only about 10,000 family trusts would be affected, and those that are affected are those that are using family trust as a mechanism via which to avoid legally paying taxation. Now, let's look at the negative gearing rules. Exceptionally minor reforms. Everybody, even if you own 16 properties, everybody who currently owns a property is grandfathered from the new laws. What that means is that you are protected from those changes. At the same time, if you invest your money in a new property, you still have the negative gearing taxation advantages. So obviously, we have people who are crying poor, but the fact is anybody who owns a property currently will still have the same negative gearing advantages until they sell that property. Now, just in case you think everybody in Australia owns more than one home, the fact is that less than 5% of Australians own a second home. And most of them have been pushed into that situation by financial investment advisors who advise them to put any disposable income into property because of the negative gearing rules. So if you own property, which is negatively geared today, you will continue to have those advantages until that property is sold. If you're interested in capital gains in property and you invest in new buildings, you will still have the same negative gearing advantages. Now, I shouldn't be talking about this on the Anarchist World this week, but the fact is the misinformation out there is extraordinary. Now, the next group that is crying poor are startups. Now, how many Australians are involved in startups? I mean, the whole point of a startup is to get going, make a profit, and then sell it to a bigger company. And we see this over and over again. So why shouldn't they, as far as taxation be concerned, be taxed at the same rate as somebody who's a wage earner? So considering the hullabaloo that is currently occurring in this country regarding these minor budget changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax and family trusts, which will affect a minuscule amount of the population, possibly less than 2%, it's just extraordinary, the hullabaloo. Now, the next group I love to talk about are these young Australians, we're told, who invest in the share market, who are complaining bitterly, that they will not be able to have the same advantages as their parents. Now, obviously, most Australians are not share market investors. And if they are, It's a small, minuscule amount of their income if they're also earning a wage. Although Australians have been seduced into investing in the stock market because of capital returns, the fact is that these changes affect a minority, a small minority. But considering the hullabaloo, the end of civilization discussions which are occurring, the misinformation and disinformation which has been promoted on social media and the legacy media, especially the Murdoch media, you begin to understand why it is so difficult to make any changes in the society which ensure that wealth is redistributed in this country. Now let's move on, because now obviously your tissues are soaked with tears. I have tears streaming down my face, running down my shirt into my groin. People think I've had an accident. I'm so distressed. But the fact is, did we hear the same outrage during the robo-debt fiasco, which affected tens of thousands of the most exploited Australians, those on social security benefits in this country? Was there the same outcry day after day after day after day, as we see currently with the minuscule amount of Australians that will be affected by these changes? No. The robo-debt outcry has basically been dead and buried, and those responsible for that illegal legislation continue to get on with their lives, enjoy their superannuation, free of any possibility of prosecution. Think about it. Now, every day I hear stories about increasing homelessness in our society. Every day I hear stories about people having to access private charities for food security. Every day I hear stories of people being evicted because they can't afford rental increases. But do we have the same outrage in the community? Do we have the same media outlets, the same social media outlets, you know, carrying on about what are problems which face an extraordinary number of Australians in this country? No. It's as if they don't exist. And if you look at the budget, the highlight of the budget is the fact that anybody on a social security benefit received no benefit from the budget. Is that the story that we, you know, that has been pushed in the social media, the legacy media? No. The story is the fact that a minuscule amount of Australians are going to pay a little bit more tax in this country, and that the majority of people who currently have investments will be excluded from this new legislation. Crocodile tears. It's just extraordinary when we, as a community, attempt to rake in a little bit of extra cash in order to provide for the everyday needs of the majority of people in this country, there is an outcry. When we look at the atrocities that are occurring in this rich country, where people have trouble sending their kids to public schools, where public hospitals and public schools are undervalued and under-resourced, where public housing is being privatised, when every important publicly owned asset in this country has been privatised at the state and federal level. Where was the outcry? There was no outcry. And that's the problem in this country. We continue to kowtow to those who exercise power and have wealth. What an extraordinary situation we find ourselves in. I assume by now you're on your second box of tissues. Well, all I can say is bring back the tumbrel. And if you're wondering what the tumbrel is, I'll leave that up to you. Let's move on. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. Just a reminder, the 26th of May is National... Sorry, my apologies. The 25th of May is National Sorry Day, and the 3rd of June is Mabo Day. Now, Reconciliation Week has been an important week for a number of years. But unfortunately, over the last decade, what we have seen is continuing efforts to deny this country's history. Currently, there will be, hopefully, reconciliation projects in your part of the world. And I encourage you to join those reconciliation projects, to show your support for reconciliation in this country. We have a desert-like, Simpson desert-like landscape as far as reconciliation is concerned. We have elements in our society, significant elements in our society, who are pushing back on the idea that this country is a black history, on the idea that justice is necessary. We even have the ridiculous situation where we have groups in our society, and significant groups, which can't even stand a welcome to country or acknowledgement to country. We have a ridiculous situation in the state of Victoria, which took 6 years to sort out a treaty with the majority of people, Indigenous people in the state of Victoria, where Her Majesty's loyal opposition, the Victorian Liberal National Party, one of their major policies, initiatives to get them elected as the government of Victoria at the end of November, is that they will tear up the treaty. Extraordinary. So it's up to people like you and me to become involved in reconciliation events in your part of the world. Go on social media, see if there's anything in your part of the world and support it. Now, for some time, we have been holding small ceremonies on the 3rd of June to mark Mabo Day. That's the day in 1992 when the High Court of Australia determined, unbelievably, that terra nullius, the law that this land belonged to no one, was a fiction, and that First Nations Australians had rights to land in law. After that judgment, we saw successive federal parliaments pour bucket loads of extinguishment on the High Court judgment. Now, the shortcomings of the current native title legislation are a direct result, not because of the Mabo decision, but a direct result of federal and state governments passing legislation trying to bypass that decision. Now, in the Torres Strait, the 3rd of June is marked as a public holiday. In the rest of Australia, the further south you go, the less interest there is in Mabo Day, and especially in Melbourne, a city of 5.5 million people, it's ignored almost totally. But on the 3rd of June, via the Ellen Jose Memorial Foundation, we hold a small ceremony in Federation Square in Melbourne, underneath the flags, the First Nations flags in Federation Square, at the front of Federation Square. near Flinders Street, a small ceremony on the 12th of June to mark June the 3rd and the importance it has had in the lives of many, not all, of many First Nations people in this country. So Reconciliation Week, Monday the 25th of May, National Sorry Day, 3rd of June. Think about it. It's interesting that National Sorry Day is on next Monday, and the Northern Territory government is currently passing legislation which will remove the legislative requirements that children, Indigenous children, who are removed from their parents, have a right to be raised via other family members or within kinship groups. Extraordinary, isn't it? Just before National Sorry Day, which was all about the findings of the Royal Commission into the removal of First Nations children in order to assimilate them in Australian society. Extraordinary. Terra nullius forever seems to be the current slogan that has been used by Divided Nation, the Liberal National Party, and other segments of Australian society who somehow think that making recompense to reconcile with this nation's First Nations people is a crime, is irrelevant, is unwanted. Now, would you, considering what First Nations people have gone through over the past 240 years, it's extraordinary that a significant amount of them still want to reconcile with wider society. So let's do our bit and let's get involved in reconciliation events. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is coming to you, as I said, from the studios of Community Radio Network in Sydney. That's right, Sydney Town. The program is podcast, 3cr.org.au. Just to remind you that Community Radio 3CR, from which I'm broadcasting from Radical Radio, is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. There will be a Knees Up Mother Brown party on Saturday the 4th of July, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Collingwood Town Hall, which is actually in Abbotsford. So you're all welcome to come along and celebrate the fact that Community Radio 3CR has been on air for 50 years, despite multiple attempts to shut us down by those who exercise power in this country. Let's move on. Now, I'd also like to remind regular listeners to The Anarchist World This Week that on the 17th, that's right, the 17th of June, I'll be holding a radiothon to raise possibly, I'm trying to, whether I get there or not, it's a different matter, $20,000 for Community Radio 3CR. Now, obviously, all the other radio stations which will receive The Anarchist World This Week will not be part of that radiothon program, because obviously you'll be raising money to keep your community radio station on air. So I'll be doing another program, a pre-recorded program, for the 17th of June. But on the 17th of June, The Anarchist World This Week, here in Victoria, will be all about trying to raise that $20,000 to keep Community Radio 3CR on air. This is our 49th year on Community Radio Station 3CR. We've been on the Community Radio Network for over 20 years. The fact is that without Community Radio 3CR, you would not hear this program. And the beauty is, you can do what the rich and famous do. So if you pay tax, especially all those people who have businesses which they sell for more than $2 million and those 10,000 family trusts that are affected, and all those shareholders and negatively geared investors, this is your chance to minimise your taxation burden by donating to 3CR via the Anarchist World this week. So if you go to 3cr.org.au, there are numerous ways you can donate to 3CR. And for every donation above $2, you receive a legal, legitimate tax deduction. Gina Reinhart donates a beautiful little plane to Divided Nation, the leader of Divided Nation. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a tax deduction. But I can assure you, if you donate to Community Radio 3CR on our day will be the 70th of June, you will receive a legal, legitimate tax deduction. Let's move on. Ever heard of the Gang of Nine? I assume you haven't, but I'm gonna list them. It's about time they were exposed for what they are. The Gang of Nine are those that hold the balance of the world's fate in their hands, not through the climate emergency, but through something which we thought was no longer an issue, and that is nuclear proliferation, nuclear destruction. Now, currently, a member of the Gang of Nine, and two members of the Gang of Nine, the USA and Israel, are doing everything they can to ensure there isn't a tenth member of, because, you know, you can't be called the Gang of Nine if there are 10 sovereign nation states that have nuclear weapons. And if Iran has a nuclear weapon, well, obviously it'll be the Gang of 10, not the Gang of Nine. Although both Ukraine and South Africa gave up their nuclear weapons. Let's not forget that. Now, so who are in the Gang of Nine? Well, number one, as you'd expect, is the United States of America, followed by Russia, although some people say Russia, under Mr. Putin, has more nuclear weapons than the USA under the Washington buffoon. Then you have China, which is rapidly increasing its nuclear weapons because it's learnt the lesson of Venezuela and Cuba and Iran. It seems like you need nuclear weapons in order to survive. Then you have that renegade state, North Korea, which has nuclear weapons. Then you have Britain and France. Isn't it interesting? The five permanent members of the United Nations, USA, Russia, China, Britain and France, all have nuclear weapons. Then you have India, and then you have Pakistan. Now, who is number nine? Not in terms of numbers, because this particular country has between 20 to 200 nuclear weapons. Israel. The State of Israel is part of the Gang of Nine. Now, the good thing about nuclear weapons is there's usually a little slogan on the side, and it says, good nuclear bomb, bad nuclear bomb. I know you think I'm making fun of a serious issue, but it's true. Good nuclear bombs belong to the good guys, and bad nuclear bombs belong to the bad guys. But the trouble is, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Now, currently, I understand there's over 10,000 nuclear bombs on planet Earth. Some are hydrogen bombs, which make the Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bombs look like look like a tsunami in comparison to throwing a pebble in a pool. Mutual destruction. Isn't it wonderful? And look at the type of people that are in charge of these nuclear arsenals. USA, where the president thinks he's a king. Russia, where Putin knows he's a king. China, where Xi knows he's a king. North Korea, where Kim knows he's an emperor, Britain and France, Pakistan and India, and guess what? Guess who has, as I said, 20 to 200 nuclear bombs? The state of Israel, which is run by war criminals, who are responsible for the deaths of over 35,000 children, who jail thousands of people, kill thousands of people, and continue to be lauded in the West and this country. Think about it. The Gang of Nine is the type of organisation, as Groucho Marx used to say, you don't really want to be a member of. Let's move on. Now, freedom of navigation. Heard that word? We talk about the Strait of Hormuz and freedom of navigation. And we talk about the Straits of Taiwan and freedom of navigation. And we talk about the South China Sea and freedom of navigation. And Good Ship Australia, that's right. Good Ship Australia is more than happy to send Australian military vessels to go through the Straits of Taiwan to the South China Sea to highlight how important freedom of navigation is, right? Currently, the dispute in the Middle East, which is affecting everybody on the planet in terms of increased gas and petrol prices, which is nothing compared to the damage, both human and physical, which has occurred in Iran and the Gulf states, courtesy of the United States of America and the Israeli war criminals. Everybody talks about freedom of navigation through the Straits of Hormuz. It is pivotal, we're told, pivotal to trade. People need freedom of navigation. Now, this is total bullshit. In the last few days, we have seen the Israeli war criminals stop a flotilla going to deliver aid to the 2 million people of Gaza in international waters. Miles away from Israel, from Gaza, from the occupied territory Gaza, in international waters, not 5 kilometres away, but near the Greek or Cypriot coast. We've seen people kidnapped. They call it piracy in the good old days. And we're told that we have freedom of navigation. Where were the French warships and the Spanish warships and the Italian warships and the British warships? Where were they in terms of protecting the freedom of navigation of the flotilla which wanted to deliver aid to Gaza? Not bomb Gaza, but deliver aid to Gaza. Where were they? Where was the international outcry from the Australian government when Australian citizens were prevented from navigating freely in open seas? Was there a peep out of the Australian government? No. Was there a peep out of most sovereign nation states regarding freedom of navigation? No. But when it comes to trade, it's almost a central pillar. That's right, a central pillar of the world's economics. I'm lost for words. The hypocrisy of it all. Freedom of navigation. What a load of bullshit. When it comes to sovereign nation states exercising their freedom of navigation through gunboat diplomacy, where all on board. We think it's a wonderful thing. But when it comes to freedom of navigation for citizens who are trying to deliver aid to one of the most impoverished and destroyed sections of planet Earth, nobody cares. Nobody has, there's no, nothing. Nothing at all. It's as if these people don't exist. It's as if they've put their life on, you know, on hold for nothing. Because freedom of navigation doesn't matter unless you've got a gunboat. It is the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. The beauty about living on planet Earth in 2026 is you couldn't really make up this shit if you really wanted to. I mean, all you got to do is look around and you'd be... It's just... The bullshit is just amazing. I mean, I shouldn't use the word bullshit. It's not nice. Why don't we use the word fecal material emanating from the anal orifice of a male cow? How does that sound? Freedom of navigation equals fecal material emanating from the anal orifice of a male cow, especially if you're not part of the military apparatus of a sovereign nation state. Now, the next thing I'm really, really excited about is international law. Now, if you break the law in this country and you're caught, obviously if you're rich and infamous, you're normally not caught because you get other people to break the law for you. But the fact is, you'll eventually be prosecuted, fined or jailed. That's the law. But the beauty about international law, what I love about it, is that there are no consequences, especially if you haven't signed up to the Hague Convention. And you'll notice that most of the nations on the planet have not signed up to the Hague Convention, to the International Criminal Court. United States of America? No. Russia? No. Israel? No. China? No. And the list goes on and on. So international law is a little bit like freedom of navigation. It's basically fecal material emanating from the anal orifice of a male cow. Bullshit. We have criminals, war criminals, in charge of countries like Israel and Russia, people who've been designated as war criminals, getting away scot-free for some of the worst atrocities we have seen on this planet in the 21st century. And you have all these academics talk about international law. If you bomb somebody, does it fit international law or is it against international law? And if it's against international law, what are the consequences? And the consequences are zilch, nil. So how can you have international law when you have five members of the United Nations, Russia, China, the United States of America, France and Britain, which can veto any resolution regarding the implementation of international law? Once again, you couldn't make this up. You couldn't really make this up. It's not part of some comedy skit. This is reality on planet Earth in 2026. You have international law but no consequences. You have freedom of navigation, but if you, you know, break that, no consequences, no outcry, no resolutions. The United Nations, because one of the big five will veto it. What a slap in the face. Now, talking about slaps in the face, I feel sorry for the Washington buffoon. He's fighting on two fronts, the lad. One, he's concerned that he may be losing his grip on the Republican Party of America. Remember that great party that had existed for over 100 years, the Republican Party? Well, there's a few people in the Republican Party who are elected to the Senate or the House of the Congress who have actually stood up to the Washington buffoon. Can you imagine that? Members, a minuscule minority in the Republican Party, actually standing up for the founding principles of the Republican Party. So the Washington buffoon is involved in an intestine struggle to ensure that people like the Senator for Kentucky, who have been a critic of the Washington buffoon, a Republican Senator for Kentucky, who's a critic of Washington buffoon, lose their primary. And currently, there is a huge struggle in the United States of America in the primary Republican primary races to see who's going to stand in the midterm elections. And we see the Washington buffoon and his henchmen and women doing everything they can to ensure that the Republican Party continues to be nothing more than a third appendage on the body of the Washington buffoon. Now, obviously, the Washington buffoon has won a few primaries against his rivals in the party in the last few weeks. So let's see what happens to the senator from Kentucky who had the courage to stand up to the Washington buffoon and say to him that the Republican Party is not about you. Irrespective of what I think regarding the policies of the Republican Party, the fact is that the Washington buffoon has now taken it over. So let's hope there is a slap in the face for the Washington buffoon in Kentucky in the next few days, once the primaries are wrapped up. Talking about a slap in the face. Now, we saw the Washington buffoon go to China, and he brought his little capitalist mates with him, you know, the Elon Musks of the world, for business opportunities. And, you know, they were wined and dined, and little kitties waved little flags saying what nice things they were. And guess who is in China today as I speak? That other war criminal, Mr. Putin, being welcomed in China. So obviously the Chinese Communist Party is saying to the Washington buffoon and what's left of the Republican Party, well, boys and girls, you're no longer the big boy in the room. He's a slap in the face. We've invited Mr. Putin to come to China so we can actually wrap up our economic ties and ensure that we have a permanent oil supply from Siberia via a new pipeline instead of having to rely on the Washington buffoon's, you know, actions in the Middle East. What a slap in the face. So that's one slap in the face. Let's hope that the independent Republican Senator for Kentucky wins the primary vote and we see the beginning of the end of what has been a disastrous time in the United States of America. Move on. As I said, Mabo Day, 3rd of June. Come and join us if you're in Victoria, Federation Square in Melbourne. Midday to about 12:30, 1 p.m. Small ceremony to mark this important day. Mabo Day, 1992 to 2026. You're all welcome. Now, I've got some good news for you. Yes, the great thing about living in Australia is we always have good news. Now, did you hear that the good old days are back? Remember the good old days when we had polio and we had tetanus and we had diphtheria and we had whooping cough and we had smallpox and we had a whole host of infective diseases. The good old days. Well, I am really pleased to hear, that's right, that there is a diphtheria outbreak in Australia, currently in the Northern Territory in West Australia and a little bit in South Australia. Possibly it'll move on to the eastern states soon. And why am I pleased? Well, I'm actually not pleased because I'm old enough to remember the diphtheria bell in hospital. I mean, I've been a doctor for 50 years. What was the diphtheria bell? Well, it was very simple. It was attached to the children's ward of the major hospitals in this country. And if the bell rang, this is before beepers and all that stuff, doctors would run to the children's hospital. They come across some poor kid who was suffocating to death. They'd have to make a hole just below their thyroid, or just above their thyroid, I'm too old to remember, and put a little tube in to ensure that they survived. See, over the last decade, there's been a lot of misinformation and disinformation regarding vaccinations in this country. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that things like diphtheria, tetanus, whooping cough, poliomyelitis, smallpox were part and parcel of everyday life. In the late 19th century, 50% of children in this country died before the age of five. Today, apart from cancers, it is rare, cancer and accidents, it is rare for children under the age of five to die. It happens, but it's very rare. And the main reason we don't see the number of children's deaths in this country are through vaccination. Now, while vaccination levels are between 92 to 96%, those people who have an ethical objection to vaccinating themselves or their children are protected because of herd immunity. But when that vaccination level drops below 90%, then that herd immunity disappears. And what we see is totally preventable diseases like diphtheria and measles and tetanus and smallpox, which supposedly has been eradicated from planet Earth, and polio, return with a vengeance. And that's what we're seeing today. And it's just extraordinary that in 2026 we find ourselves in this situation because of misinformation, because of disinformation, and we've now have the situation in the United States of America where the head of the health department is an anti-vaxxer. What a wonderful world we live in. So if you're an investor and you are concerned about losing a little bit of income through the changes to taxation, you should really be investing heavily in vaccinations. And if you don't want to invest in vaccinations, well, you should be investing in coffins, because that's going to be a growth area in Australian society, especially small coffins for small children. I know it sounds terrible, but that's the reality. And I cannot believe that we find ourselves as a community in this situation. It's just extraordinary that we find ourselves in this situation. You listen to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. And if you know an investor, buy them a box of tissues or a number of lovely silk handkerchiefs, because Their tears are flooding social media. They are flooding the legacy media. And we're all feeling sorry for themselves. All those businesses that sell for more than $2 million. All those people who've got investments in the share market. All those startups. All that, those 10,000 family trusts that are affected. This is almost as bad as a year ago when this horrible, horrible, horrible government introduced legislation which increased taxation for superannuation funds that had more than $3 million in them. That was the end of the earth. That affected 18,000 Australians. Just extraordinary what this government is willing to do. But the good thing is, as we see with vaccines, that misinformation, disinformation, fake news is the name of the game. And while we've got so much fake news, that, you know, we'll continue to do what we do. But the fact is, whether you believe in climate change or not, whether you believe in vaccines or not, whether the fact is that reality doesn't care. Reality bites. Reality is not based on belief systems. Reality is based on what we see, what we hear, not what we think we hear and what we think we see. You've been listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program has been streaming live on 3cr.org.au. If only we spent so much time on real issues that are plaguing this country, not these fake issues regarding a minuscule minority in this country, regarding them having to pay a little bit more taxes to ensure that the rest of us can enjoy the good life, what's left of it. So you can leave messages, pleasant ones, please, because I'll erase unpleasant ones, on 0439 395 489. You can actually send me a letter, Post Office Box 20, Parkville 3052. You can go to the YouTube channel, Public Interests Before Corporate Interests, where I do a presentation every week. I think it's about 400 presentations, enough to lull you into a sleep. You can go to the Radical History site, YouTube, josephtoscano.nam. You can join Public Interest Before Corporate Interests. That's right. Isn't it about time we put the interests of the many before the interests of the few? You can join by going to pibci.net. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. Don't forget the 3CR Anarchist World This Week Radiothon on the 17th of June. We're trying to raise $20,000 to keep 3CR on air for another 12 months. And don't forget the 50th birthday party for 3CR. It doesn't matter where you're in Australia, come along the 4th of July, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Collingwood Town Hall, which I'm afraid is in Abbotsford, not Collingwood. So come along, enjoy yourself, and the important thing is to maintain that resistance. It doesn't matter how bad things are, maintain that resistance to the status quo.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World This Week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World This Week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.